I do not know how good a sermon this will be, nor do I really care how good a sermon it will be. But I know this. I know that if I stutter it, or whisper it, or shout it, that what I'm going to say this morning could, if you'd let it, totally revolutionize your life. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, and you listen to this title, you'll be impressed. What you want to do because you feel it is what makes you feel it. What you want to do because you feel it is what makes you feel it. Before I pray, I want to sort of give you the little background as to why I'm bringing the message. Somebody came the other day to me and said, "Brother Hiles, I'd give anything in the world if I could feel like you feel. If I could feel," that's what they said. I'm not saying that I feel more strongly than you do. But I'll guarantee you this, I love people. I guarantee you there's nobody in the world I hate. And I'll guarantee you I try to feel the hurts of people and hurt with them. But somebody said, "I'd give anything in the world if I could feel as you feel." Years ago, when Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was living, Dr. Bob used to pray before he preached some of the most beautiful words you'd ever hear in your life. He used to pray, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to see you." He used to pray, "Jesus," this would, by the way, be from the pulpit while he before he spoke. He'd say, "If I heard today that you were anywhere in the world, I'd get on a plane and I'd fly there. I'd see you. If I had to wait in line for 3 days, stay up all night in line, I'd see you, Jesus." One of our people came to me in Garland, Texas, where I was pastoring, and they said, "Brother Hiles, I wish I could love Jesus like that. I wish I could love Jesus like Dr. Bob Sr. does." Somebody asked me one day, he said, "Brother Hiles, how did Russell Anderson get so generous?" A lady said not long ago to me, she said, "Brother Hiles, I want a broken heart." By the way, it's very interesting. I made an appointment to help her and try to tell her how she'd have a broken heart. I made an appointment one day, and she came by after the lady's spectacular, and she said, "Brother Hiles, I won't be needing that appointment anymore." She said, "I got what I was looking for at the lady's spectacular." She said, I have now a broken heart." Now this morning, without a lot of fanfare, without a lot of humor, without a lot of dynamics, I think, I never know how a sermon's going to end up as far as volume's concerned, but just simply and lovingly, I can help you this morning from God's Word if you'll let me. My text is, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It does not say, "Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also." You see, the treasure goes first, and the heart comes second. People say, "Oh, if your heart was right, you'd give." No, if you'd give right, your heart would be right. You see, the giving comes first. Didn't say where your heart is, there shall your treasure follow. Well, that's true. But that doesn't start it. It started by your treasure, then your heart, then your treasure. Hence the sermon title, "What you want to do because you feel it is what makes you feel it." Russ Anderson and I were sitting on an airplane together a few years ago. And we were reading some newspapers. I looked over and he was reading the strangest looking part of the newspaper you ever see in your life. A bunch of little bitty doodiggers there. Looked like Greek hieroglyphics or something. And I was reading, of course, the sport page. Most important part of the newspaper. And he was reading. I said, "Russell, what are you reading?" He said, "The futures market." Well, I thought that was the book of Revelation. I didn't. But I said, the futures market. I said, what in the world are you doing reading the futures market? Now, I'm not going to take time to tell you what the futures market is, because it would take me 3 years to do it. I don't know that much about it. I know a little bit about it. But he is reading the futures market. I said, why are you interested in that stuff? Well, he said, I got some money invested in it. He said, why are you reading the sport page? I said, because I got some money. Bet on the Cowboys for next Sunday. You see, where your treasure is, there with your heart be also. Now, if you're visiting this morning, I did not bet the money on the Cowboys, but on the Giants. Now, you see, what is the illustration of that is parallel to our text. Are you listening? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me explain it this way. You want to do something because you feel it? Every once in a while somebody says, I'm not going to do it. If I don't feel it, I'm not going to do it. Well, then you're never going to do it at all. Because you've got to do it to feel it. You see, you do, now get this, you do to make you feel. Then you feel to make you do more. It's like building a road. You want to have a nice, comfortable road on which to drive to Indianapolis, somebody, then first you got to build the road. So you go out and you go to Indianapolis building the road, and then the road that you built conveys you to Indianapolis. In every Christian endeavor, you do it first in order to feel it. In order that you may do it second, because you feel it. Now, if that doesn't explain it, let me try another way. Do you want to give from your heart? The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. It does not say you're not supposed to give if you don't give cheerfully. God is not saying, if you can't give from your heart, don't give at all. Well, now, I'll be honest with you. I give a lot of times I don't give from my heart. I give a lot of times. I was down in Florida the other night, and they brought the plates up, didn't pass them down for the speakers. They brought them up, and one guy. Well, he came to me. He came to myself. And he held that plate in front of me. I had no choice but to give. I reached in my pocket to get a dollar. Didn't have a dollar. I looked for a $2 bill. Didn't have a $2. Looked for a $5. No $5. Looked for a $10. No $10. All I had was one $20 bill and nothing else. Now, I was in Florida, folks. I was planning on having some fun the next day. But I was in Florida. And you got to have money for tips, and you got to have money for incidentals and toothpaste and vending machines and so forth. You got to have it. But there I was. There it was. I had a 20, nothing else, no change. Didn't even have a penny I could put in a plate. A 20, nothing else. You think I gave cheerfully? I gave that $20 bill begrudgingly. Now, I'm saying God loveth a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from me, old grouch. I will too. Do every Sunday. I'm saying that, you see, you want to give from the heart. You don't get your heart right first, and that makes you give. No. You give, and when you give, you have invested, and you're concerned about where your investment is. Russell Anderson was concerned. By the way, he got his pen looking down at futures market, and I got my pen. I was picking the winners for next week, and he got his pen at futures market, and he said, I think I'll invest some here. What?
I mean it. That guy was excited about the futures market more so than I was the sport page. I don't understand it. Why? I haven't got any money invested in the futures market. Why was he so excited? He's got some money. So he invested some money in the futures market. And because he had the money invested in the futures market, he was interested in the futures market. And because he got interested in the futures market, he invested some more money in the futures market. That's why you don't love people like you should. You haven't got anything invested in them. You invest in people, you will love people, then you'll invest because you love. You give to the poor because, whether you want to or not, you give to the poor. And you've invested in them. And because you invest in them, my Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? That's where your heart is. Have you got money invested in Hiles Anderson Cottage? Then your heart's there. Have you got money invested in First Baptist Church? Then your heart's here. Have you got money invested in some people who are poor? Then your heart's there. I'll guarantee you. I'm thinking about a young lady now that got pregnant when she was 15 years old. And she had nobody at all. I tried to help her. I found a family that would take the baby, and they did. And I gave her some money to one of our members, one of our ladies, and said, go down and buy her some maternity clothes. Dr. Rice calls them hatching jackets. But buy her some maternity clothes. And she did. And I met with her regularly and tried to help her all the time she's pregnant. And so forth. Now, what to do? I invested in her. Now, it's been five or six years since then. But I keep up with her. I know where she is. I got a letter from her just the other day. I wrote her back. Fine young lady. Made a mistake? Oh, yes. But she's now a fine young lady. Serving God. Went to a Christian college. Wonderful young lady. Now, I have more interest in her than I do some young ladies in whom I've never invested. You want to love people? Invest. Then you say, well, I tell you what. You mean just cold turkey invest? Yeah, cold turkey invest. And once you invest in them, then you love them. And once you love them, then you invest in them again. But you say, I want to do it from the heart. It doesn't start that way. It starts because of obedience. And once you do what you're supposed to do because of obedience, then you have invested and your heart and interest follows that investment. And then you invest again because you want to. Now, maybe that doesn't explain it. Let's try it another way. You want to speak from your heart. You want to speak sincerely from your heart. All right? What do? You speak until you feel. And then you speak because you feel. You say, Brother Hiles, you mean to tell me you're supposed to speak when you don't feel? Yeah, you can tell the truth and not feel anything. I mean, if a house is burning down, I can walk up and say to the fellow, the house is on fire. If I don't feel anything, he still get out. You see, the telling brings the feeling. Hey, listen to me. You know that you can work yourself up. Many, many of you husbands and wives, we husbands and wives, we have started off a little bit mad, and then we start telling them why we're mad. And while we're telling them why we're mad, we get madder, and we work ourselves up into a real temper tantrum and a lather that we wouldn't have done if we'd have kept our mouth shut. But nobody's ever kept his mouth shut. I'm saying, listen. What happens is this. You say, now, I have my rights. And this, Buster, is what you did. You brought mud on the carpet and I cleaned it today. And that mud you brought was an hour late for supper. Now, you're a little bit mad, aren't you? But then you say, I worked hard today. And you're madder. And then you say, and you don't appreciate it at all. In fact, you never have appreciated it. 17 years ago, you didn't appreciate something I did. Then you bring that up. Now listen, you know what I'm talking about. You can talk yourself into a lather, or you can talk yourself into love. You want to speak from your heart, you start speaking it'll work its way into your heart. Listen, any of you preachers here, Brother Rasmussen, you I'm talking about, any preacher can say this. We've gotten up sometimes and we the burden of the ministry had were weighing heavily upon our shoulders, and we've got up to speak, and the honest truth is we knew that Jesus saves and we knew that God is wonderful, but we weren't really excited about God being wonderful. Why? And so we got up, and we said, God is wonderful. And then we said again, God is wonderful. And then we said again, God is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, God became wonderful to us. And then we say, bless God, He's wonderful. What are we doing? We're preaching ourselves up a ladder. What are we doing? We are telling, and the telling brings the feeling, and the feeling brings the telling. The giving brings the heart, and the heart brings the giving. They'll say it again. Suppose you want to help because you love. You want to have a sincere desire to help people. What do? You help in order to love. Listen, this could change your life. You sitting around there waiting to do something for somebody and you can feel good about it. Well, do it and that'll make you feel good about it. You invest. And once you invest, your interest follows. Your love follows. Your compassion follows. And once your investment has brought genuine love, then your genuine love brings added investment. But you don't, listen, you'll never feel it from the heart till you invest in it first. I used to be a paratrooper. To this day, I can see a paratrooper in an airport somewhere, and man, there's a kindred spirit with him. You know why? I got 2.5 years of my life invested in that stuff. I was in Louisville, Kentucky. Saw a trooper. I said, hey, trooper, what outfit are you with? He said, 82nd. Man, I said, that's the outfit I'm with, or was with. He said, when? I said, shut up. Now I gave 2.5 years of my life to the paratroopers. I love the paratroopers. They can play football. Ouch. They can play football. I love the paratroopers. Why? I invested 2.5 years. Listen, somebody said to the house, I wish I could love my people like you love yours. You sit in your office over there and talk to 145 of your people a week for 27 years and you'll love your people too. You invest night after night and day after day in your people. And you stand sometimes over there on Sunday morning that you're absolutely, your feet are so sore you can't hardly stand up. And it's late in the afternoon and you stand there and after the 75th person has come by and talked with you and you stand over there on Sunday night after you've worked hard all day Sunday and you stand over there and try to help those Hiles Anderson College young men until 10:15, 10:30, sometimes 11 o'clock at night. And you stay up here sometimes at the church till everybody else has gone to bed. And you get home past midnight after trying to help a dozen or 2 dozen or 3 dozen people. And you give your life to it for 27 years. You love somebody too. But the reason you don't love is you're wanting to love to give, but you're supposed to live to give to love.
That doesn't explain it to me. Try it again. You want to be affectionate to somebody. I don't know how many young men have said to me recently, I love my wife and she loves me, but she's not affectionate. I don't know how many young wives. I'm not kidding now. I'm serious about this. This is not funny. This is truth. And this will help you if you'll listen instead of making a joke out of it. Are you listening to me? I don't know how many young ladies have said to me, I want to be affectionate to my husband. But, and they always excuse it by saying, I was reared in a home where there was no affection. Sorry, that's no excuse. If you're reared in a home of murderers, you're not supposed to kill. If you're reared in a home of bank robbers, you're not supposed to steal. Now, you listen to me. The first thing you do is you go through the motions. You want to be affectionate to somebody, you show it until you want to show it. You won't want to show it until you show it. Nobody's going to give you a hypodermic needle and give you a shot in the arm of affection. You can't get that. The first thing you do is you tell him you love him. You say, that doesn't come easy. Do it hard then. And then you tell him why you love him. Listen, telling somebody you love them does not make you affectionate. Telling them why you love them makes affection. You tell them out loud.
That's one reason why when I talk to God most of the time out loud. Most of the time I pray out loud. I don't just think it, I pray it out loud. Dear God, I love you. And you're wonderful, and you're compassionate, and you're merciful, and you're a great God. I love you because you've forgiven my sins. I love you back. And boy, by the time I get about 5 minutes into that thing of just saying it, I'm all of a sudden it's worked its way down in my heart, and tears begin to flow, and I say, I do love you, I do, but I can stand there and never cry if I never start telling it. You tell him to feel it, you tell him to cause you feel it. That's the way you get affection. You show it until you want to show it, and then you show it because you want to show it. Boy, I wish I could grab you and shake you right here. You don't have to go through life saying, it's just not my disposition to be affectionate. That's dirty sin. Wrong. You tell, you young women that have been coming to me, you tell your husband, you say, I love you. He's in the house, I don't feel it. Okay, I say, do you love him? Yeah, I love him. Well, then tell him, say, I love you. Tell him. And tell him why. I love you because you're bald-headed. I love you because you got a 40-inch waist. Tell him, I love you because you work hard. I love you because you're honest. I love you because you pay your bills. Now, that's the way it works itself in. You don't first, it doesn't, listen, love doesn't work its way out. Love works its way in. You tell it. And all of a sudden, as you tell it, you will feel it. And then, after you feel it, then you may throw yourself in his arms and say, I love you with all my heart. Or, if that doesn't explain it, let me try another way. You want to preach from your heart. All right, the first thing you do is you preach to your heart. Preach to your heart. And after you have preached to your heart, then you preach from your heart. You Howells Anderson College students that took my preaching course 2 years ago, you'll know I said this. I said the first 5 minutes, and finish this statement, the first 5 minutes of your sermon, preach to yourself. Yeah, always do. When I was in college, they said, first, your introduction ought to get the people's attention. I said, no, that's not right. Introduction ought to get your attention. If I can get my attention, then yours will come. You're listening to me right now because I'm listening to you right now. You're following what I say because I'm following what I say. And some of you are excited about what I say because I'm excited, because I happen to think I'm teaching you a truth this morning that could transform your life. And because I think that, you're listening because I think it, I have my own attention. How'd I get my own attention? I started preaching. That's what I did. And while I was preaching, I preached for the first 5 minutes to myself, and I got my attention. Why? I tell it to feel it, and then tell it because I feel it. Oh, all of life is that way. Anything you want to get, you've got to invest. And then when you invest in it, you love it. Then you love it, you help it. That's the whole story of life. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart's going to follow. Now, when your heart follows, your treasure follows your heart, then you've got a beautiful cycle going. But you start off by investing. You invest and feel and invest and feel and invest and feel and invest and feel. You feel because you invest first, and then you invest because you feel. You give to your love, and then you give because you love. You preach it to get the warmth, and then you preach because you're warm. You want to help, you help because you're supposed to, and love follows the help until you have invested yourself. You will never have the feeling in your heart you want to have. Could I just say this about people that aren't affectionate? There's one guy trying to get his wife in shape. Now, nobody will say amen the rest of the sermon. That ruins your response for the rest of the day. But you know why? Because you're investing in you. You're upset with her or him because he or she has not treated you right. And you are wanting to be invested in rather than to invest. But you forget yourself. Forget what he does for you, and you think what you do. Listen, hear me. Follow me carefully. This is good. If I say anything else good, I'll call your attention later on. This is good. Here comes a lady to my office. Now hear me carefully. She says, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I got a good husband. He works hard. He comes home on time every night. He pays the debts. He's a good husband. He's a good father. He's a good citizen. He's everything I want my son to be. But I don't feel anything for him. I don't love him." Now hear me carefully. Just checking to see if you're there, that's all. Now listen. Here comes a gal in the office. She's got two black eyes and a busted lip. I said, "What can I do for you?" That's a stupid question. She says, "My husband beat me. He comes home drunk. He beats me up every night. I've tried to be a good wife. I love him. I show him I love him. I try to be everything he needs me to be. He comes home and beats me. What can I do?" I said, "Quit him." I never have done that. Never advised anybody to quit somebody or divorce anybody in the 40 years I've been preaching. But I'll say, "Look, do you love him?" She'll say, "Oh, with all my heart." I understand that. Here's a gal over here, got a guy. He works hard. He's honest. He's faithful. He comes home on time at night, pays the bills. He's everything that she wants her son to be someday. Here's a big idiot, comes home, beats his wife to death. The woman who gets beat loves the guy passionately. Now listen carefully. You know why the other gal doesn't? You know why? Because the other gal has been adjusted to a frame of life where her husband does everything for her. And the second gal's husband does nothing for her. She is constantly doing for him. So she loves him because she has invested in him. She has invested patience. She has invested forbearance. She has invested long-suffering. The other gal is the object of investment. And by the way, that's why he loves her so much.
"I love my wife, but she's cold to me."
You know why? He's invested in her. She has invested in him. But the gal that has the husband that for years has been beating her, she loves him to death. And I'll guarantee you, it's a devoted, passionate love. You wonder this too. Why doesn't she leave the guy? She loves him. You know why? Love is not caused by how much you receive from a person. Love is caused by how much you invest in a person. You want to know how to learn to love me? Give me more. If that doesn't explain it, try again. We want to sincerely express our love to God. We want to be able to come to God like Dr. Bob Jones did. I was praying the other night in a certain church. Didn't even know what I was saying, really. I was praying and I was sort of making love to God. And I said, "God, I love you. You know I love you. I told you before I left my room, I love you. I didn't think anything about it. After service over, a lady, middle-aged lady, came down and she said, "Brother House," she said, "I'd give that arm out there if I could love God like you love him." I said, "What makes you say that?" She said, "The prayer you prayed." I said, "What did I pray?" And she told me, I wasn't trying to pray a pretty prayer. I was trying to tell God I loved him. She said, "How can I do it?" First thing you do is you tell God you love him. And by telling God you love him, and tell him out loud what all the good things about him. And after you've told God for a while and invested in your time and your prayers in telling God how wonderful he is in praise and worship, all of a sudden, you're telling it, will work it into your heart. You folks that write poetry know what I'm talking about. I was asked to write a poem for Joy Canavan's wedding. She's getting married down south, and so I couldn't perform the ceremony, and so she asked if I would write a poem for a wedding. I sat in my office one day because I had to write a poem. Had to write it. I promised I would. Had a horrible hard time finding time. Good, sat down there. And I said, okay, I've got to write a poem for joy. And I said, I don't feel like writing a poem for joy now. But I started writing a poem for joy. I got down about the second or third stanza of that poem, tears rolling down my cheeks. All of a sudden, I realized what a fine family the Canavans are. And I realized what a good man that man is and what a precious woman Miss Canavan is. And I realized what fine young ladies, young daughters they had and how much they've all meant to me through these many years. And tears rolling down my cheeks. And I wrote the last half of that poem with tears streaming down my cheeks of thanksgiving and love. You know why? It was my writing the poem that made me feel it, and it was my feeling it that made me write the rest of the poem. Do what you're supposed to do. Say what you're supposed to say. You want to feel it? You do to make you feel, and you feel to make you do. You build the road so you can travel the road. You want to give from the heart? You give, and then it goes to the heart, and then you give from the heart. You want to speak from your heart, you speak till you feel, and then you speak because you feel. You want to help because you help until you love, and then you help because you love. You want to be affectionate to somebody, you show it till you want to show it, and then you show it because you want to show it. You want to preach from your heart, then you preach to your heart, and then preach from your heart. You want to tell God you love Him and mean it, then you tell Him you love Him, and then let it work into devotion and depth and sincerity until it gets in your heart. And then you'll end up telling God from the heart that you love Him. If I can explain it this way. Would you like to read the Bible and have the Bible speak to you? Then you read it without it speaking to you. You read the Bible until you feel the heartbeat and the love for the Word of God. And then you read because the love has come. But the love doesn't come first. The obedience to read the Bible comes first. And then once you obey, I'm always talking about getting fat. But once you obey, then it works into your heart. And it works into your heart. Tom Malone says this. I love it. Dr. Tom Malone says, somebody said, how much Bible do you read every day? Preacher boys asked him, and I've heard him answer it. They asked me the same question. How many chapters read in the Bible every day? Oh, Dr. Malone, God bless him, probably my favorite preacher as far as sermon is concerned. Oh, Dr. Tom Malone, with his voice raspy from many years of preaching and several surgeries on his throat, he said, young man, I read the Bible till it burns. I read it till it burns. I read it till it burns. Then I read it because it burns. But you won't read it because it burns until you read it till it burns. And you won't give because you love until you give to make you love. For the investment comes first, and then the heart comes second, and then added investment comes third. The opposite is also true. I said a while ago, you can talk up a hatred. You can talk up a bitterness. You can tell enough people why you hate somebody or why you don't like somebody or what they've done, but you yourself will work up a bitterness that will destroy you. Don't talk about it. If you're bitter, don't tell anybody. It'll destroy you sooner or later. That's why I won't do it. You can, listen, that's why some of you folks are making a mistake in quitting your Sunday school classes. Because you're taking away the investment. And you're going to lose your heart. You're going to quit talking about God. You're going to quit teaching the Word of God. Quit talking about the things of God. Listen, if you quit talking about the things of God, after a while you won't feel the things of God. Express it till you feel it, and then you feel it, and express it because you feel it. You can cool a relationship that way. You can say enough times it's just not the same as it used to be, and that it won't be the same as it used to be. You can You can absolutely cool, and the word relationship nowadays is used in such a wicked connotation, I almost hate to use it, but I'm talking about any kind of relationship you have, you can cool it by saying it's not the same.
A fine couple sits down here on the front, gone from this church for years. They could come back and they could convince themselves the church is not the same anymore if they wanted to, Jeff and Marie.
They can say, not the same, not the same, not the same, not the same, not the same.
Well, it wouldn't be the same.
Or they can say, same old church.
Same old illustrations.
Same old sermons. And same Brother Hyatt. Altar still filled. And the building is still filled. And God still blesses. And baptisms are still many. And the conversions are still many. And it's the same. Listen.
You can talk yourself into destruction, or you can talk yourself into construction. You see, we build the avenues on which we travel. Now, follow me carefully, I'll be through. We build the avenues on which we travel.
And you can't travel on those avenues until they're built. Are you listening now? You cannot travel on those avenues until they're built. It is not inspirational to build those avenues, but they must be built. And by the way, once you get on those avenues, there are very few exits. It's hard to get off. Once you get the place to where you worked yourself up to hatred or bitterness or a negative attitude,
it's almost impossible to get off. First place, you won't want to get off. In second place, there are hardly any exits. But thank God, it's the same way about the positive virtues too. You can talk about and tell truth. I'm not saying you're a hypocrite.
It is not hypocritical to say that Jesus is my Savior and He's wonderful, even if you don't tingle while you say it. He is my Savior and He's wonderful. And I can say it without feeling a tingle, and it's not hypocritical. But you let me say it four or five times. Jesus is my Savior, and He's wonderful. Jesus is my Savior. Hey, I'm not a Jesse Jackson fan, but I like what Jesse Jackson does, these little black kids. I'm just one. I'm just one. Say it. I'm just one. Say this, but I am one. But I am one. But I am one. I'm just one. But I am one. I'm just one. But I am one. I'm just one. But I am one. What cheering does at a football game? What is it? You say it. All of a sudden you say the truth. It works its way in. And all of a sudden it grips you. Then you say it because you have to say it.
You want to someday lift your holy hands and praise God where you have to? And lift your holy hands and praise God until you have to.
You want to be generous? Invest. Give. Invest!
And once you've invested, your heart goes next. I've been in this business a long time. Hey, let me say this. I have been in this business a long time, but I want to hold up a minute. Do you know that's one reason why it is hard to talk about spiritual things to your family? You've not built any roads to walk on.
You've not built any avenues. It's true. People who are sincere Christians find it hard to talk about spiritual things to their families. You know why? Because as you rear children, you've got to make them make their beds, you've got to make them clean their rooms, you've got to make them brush their teeth, you've got to make them take a bath, you've got to make them do their lessons. And after you've done that for 8 hours a day, and then at night,
it's hard to say, let us praise our wonderful Savior. There are no avenues to travel on. None. So what do? You do it awkwardly at first. And the awkward expression of your feeling to someone or about someone is simply building a road, building an avenue. And once you build that avenue with awkward expressions, then you drive down that avenue comfortably with joy, telling you love Him.
Tell others you love them. Give to others. Talk about God's goodness. Express your feelings. Express your love. And by your expressing it, you will feel it. And then you express it because you feel it. Our Heavenly Father.